Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yesterday, I went to see the opening premiere of a documentary film entitled Leap of Faith. The movie depicted the ongoing discussions of 12 pastors who served 12 very different churches, and all these churches were in and around Grand Rapids, Michigan. Each pastor represented a very different kind of Christianity. Each pastor held very deep commitments regarding their beliefs, and perhaps most importantly, each pastor was thoughtful and compassionate person. The movie began with the gospel reading from the book of Matthew that Lori just read for us. A lawyer asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The movie placed the 12 pastors together to see if their commitment to the love of God and neighbor that Jesus taught could help them to see beyond their differences. At the beginning of the movie, while the voiceover was introducing the concept of the filmmaker, Nicholas Ma, interspersed a series of shots of churches as seen from in and around Grand Rapids. They weren't still photographs, they were snippets of film showing these church buildings within the context of the town. So you might see a steeple from a distance, but underneath an underpass. Another shot showed a steeple closer up, but behind a crisscross web of electrical wires. Another shot showed a steeple as seen from an elevated train platform sitting right between two advertisements. It was strangely evocative and beautiful. These churches were parts of the community, houses of worship. Now, churches are a part of the landscape of America, no doubt. When you drive into a town almost anywhere in this country, the most prominent architectural features that you are likely to come upon are churches. There was a time, of course, when churches played a much more central role in our cultural life. Today, as we all know, many churches are struggling to survive. And yet, I would argue that churches still play an important role in our culture, or at least they should. On this, the final Sunday of our pledge campaign here at the United Church of Jaffrey, I would like to make a case for the continued cultural significance of the church, a case that I hope will inspire you to pledge your support for our church for yet another year. Now, the ongoing theme of this year's pledge season has been the household of God. When I think of this phrase, the household of God, one of the things that I thought of when I was writing the sermon was a spatula, a pencil, a Phillips head screwdriver, a roll of toilet paper, a paper clip, a carton of milk, that sponge that you use to wash the dishes with. All of these, of course, are very commonplace things. They're things that you find in your house. They are household items. A household item is nothing special. It is something that you run into every day. It is so common that you hardly even see it. This is one of the meanings of the word household. It is something common. The word household also suggests a place, a building with walls and ceiling. The house needs to be well built in order to withstand the weather. The house keeps us warm and safe. This is another meaning of the word household. Now, this phrase, the household of God, comes to us from the second chapter of Ephesians, as Laurie just read for us. You are no longer strangers and aliens, the text says, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. On the one end of this phrase is the word household. On the other end of this phrase is the word God. Now, if household suggests things that we know very well, if this word refers to a familiar place that we go to every day to have dinner with our family and to relax at the end of a hard day's work, the word God, which is at the other end of this phrase, has a very different sense to it. God is most decidedly not something common like a paperclip, not at all. We can't put God into our pocket or wash dishes with God. God forbid. God is the opposite of common. God is universal, unknowable, mysterious. We are insignificant creatures who live but a short time, while God is eternal. One of the most earnest desires that a human can have is to catch a glimpse of God. Indeed, to feel God's presence is to have an experience that will remain with you all the days of your life. So when the epistle to the Ephesians encourages us to think of ourselves as members of the household of God, we find ourselves in a rather puzzling place. How are we to understand this strange phrase that places the most mundane, commonly physical idea next to the most rare and astonishing spiritual idea? How does this common experience of common things help us to understand the eternal? Perhaps this is another way of asking the question posed by those pictures in the film taken from all over town. What do houses of worship dedicated to God have to do with the everyday experience of the society that we live in? What does it mean to see the steeple of the house of God from underneath an underpass? A church is part of town. There are other things in town, like laundromats, for example. When we go to a laundromat, we expect to do our laundry. When we go to a hair salon, we expect to get our hair styled. And when we go to the gym, we expect to exercise. Restaurants are to be fed. And if you maybe go to a comedy show, you might expect to be amused. In a capitalist society, businesses appear that cater to the many desires that we have. The more we desire the product or the service that the business supplies, the more successful that business is likely to be. We need to eat several times a day, so a restaurant is a good business. We want to be healthy and fit. We want to be clean and neat. We want to be amused and entertained. These are pretty straightforward things. But what about church? Church seems to be different from all those things. And yet, in every town, there is a church. Most towns have several of them. And they are impressive-looking, prominently placed buildings. But a church is not exactly a business. Or at least it shouldn't be, I don't think. So what does a church do for us, and why should we support it? One of the 12 pastors in this Leap of Faith movie, Pastor Joan, was gay. While this fact would be a matter of almost no concern to us here at the United Church of Jaffa, a number of the pastors present were committed to the doctrinal teaching of their church, which told them that homosexuality is a sin. And yet Pastor Joan is a brilliant, warm, deeply gifted pastor. All of the other 11 pastors clearly understood without reservation that Pastor Joan loved God with all her heart and with all her soul and her mind. Pastor Joan represented a challenge to these pastors. God told them to love her as they loved themselves. Could they? Now, it was quite clear, quite quickly, that the love had grown strong among all of the pastors, including Pastor Joan. But love and respect is one thing. Could their deeply held beliefs be transformed enough to fully embrace her in the fullness of her being? This question became the central concern of the movie. As I watched, it was quite clear to me that doctrine was getting in the way of relationship. This, in spite of the fact that Christ's central teaching, the most treasured doctrine of Christian faith, is one that clearly states at the beginning of the movie, that Jesus asks us to love God and love neighbor. How ironic. Church doctrine gets in the way of relationship, even though the most important doctrine of the church is that relationship is always first. This, to me, gets at what church is for. This is why church has a deep and abiding cultural value. This is why church can proudly take its place at the center of our town squares. It's not a laundromat, but if you need a warm winter jacket, someone in church might give you one. It's not a restaurant, but if you are hungry, you might get fed. Why? Because church is a place where relationship is first. Before money, before power, before personal comfort, church places relationship before all these things. Church may be hijacked by people who use it to make money or support power or feel superior over other people, but ultimately that is not church. That is something else. Ultimately, to be church, church is a place where relationship is first. Church is where relationship becomes a spiritual practice, an expression of the holy. So if you think church is about protecting and passing down doctrine, then this church is probably not for you. That's not what this church is. Even though I stand in the pulpit and preach each Sunday trying to talk about what I believe to be true, to me, church is not about teaching truth. To me, church is about discovering how to love. And this gets to the heart of the notion of the household of God. Because there is another aspect to the household that we have not yet spoken of. A house is not just a place full of paper clips and sponges and bed linens and Phillips head screwdrivers. A house is not just four walls and a ceiling. A house, most importantly, is the people who live in it. The people that you are likely to run into in a household are also people that you know well. They are your family members, your spouse, or perhaps your brother or sister. These are people that you love And there are also people who really piss you off. They are both, right? So they are the perfect people to learn how to be in relationship. It's the same here in church, but we add God to the mix. We learn about God, we glimpse God here when we learn how to be together. When we learn how to give another person the fullness of their being, even if we think they're crazy. When we are accepted fully by those who have learned to trust, we learn in turn to offer ourselves in our fullness to God. Church is the natural habitat where the love of God and the love of neighbor become one glorious, confusing, and undeniable love. Amen.